The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
And welcome to the new Pat Buck Show. Your host, Pat Buck, and this is kind of the first episode again. And though it's actually my second time recording the episode for this week, it might be a little late. Or if you've been trying to download the show, you've noticed that it's been kind of deleted, if you will. Not my call. I'll kind of explain that, but the reason why I'm re-recording is because I kind of want to move past things. I'll get into it. Anyway, for starters, thank you for listening. Leave, rate, review, subscribe, do a lot of stuff. It's a free podcast, obviously. All podcasts, I think, pretty much are free. It's a promotional tool. It's free therapy. It's a way to, be around my trials and tribulations as a pro wrestler, and I guess as a podcaster, and I guess partially as a actual manager too, but unrelated to what I'm probably going to talk about. So anyway, but first, plug WrestlePROOnline.com, October 14th and 15th. We got a lot of seats left. They're not doing bad. I would tell you, I'd be begging you guys to buy tickets if the shows were doing bad. They're not. But they're not doing great. You know, I know we got two shows. It splits the crowd. Creskill, New Jersey. I'm pumped for that one. That one's moving a little bit. Brooklyn's a little slow, guys. Pick up the pace. Come see all the WrestlePro favorites, including Santino Marella will be here. Cut a little promo for us. And Ryback, who's yet to make a promo for us. I think I'll get that at the end of the day, hopefully. Also Creative Pro Wrestling, creativeprowrestling.com. We're doing a Thursday show, Halloween show, October 27th, very spooky. And, I will be competing again in the all costumes are legal match, which I look forward to every year because I'm a total Halloween mark and I'm very depressed that I can't be at a certain Halloween thing. And I'll talk about that on the show because they all kind of flow together. All right. So what happened this week? Why has the show been gone? And like I said, I'm going to kind of, I'm going to walk on eggshells. I've normally like kind of been like the one podcast, I don't want to say the one podcaster, but a lot of you guys listen to this because I'm just blunt and brutal and say what I want to say. But then there's sometimes that there's more people affected than me and I can't be a selfish prick and I have to kind of, you know, be careful. And I'm also trying to reach a little bit of a mature age. I'm less angry these days. And like, I'm just thinking about how stupid this world is sometimes, especially around fake punches and fake kicks and, you know, it gets a little bit ludicrous, so I'm not going to, like, waste my energy making my fucking cholesterol jump. I don't know. Does that even happen? No. Or just making your heart rate, your blood pressure go up. I don't think that's related to cholesterol, though I'm not entirely sure. Do have my levels checked for the second and third time. Maybe I'll talk about that because there was a question about that on the end of the show. This week was pretty cool. It was just a mild week of training, doing some drills. I need to come up with some fresh stuff. I came up with some stuff last night. I forget sometimes, you know, when you're training guys for full time, because I really think that like that's the forefront of my job. Before being a promoter and before being a wrestler, and I guess it's starting to look like I could actually do some things in podcasting. But before that, I'm a wrestling trainer. Like that's the pride of it. That's where my heart and soul's at, is being a coach. I think deep down, like if I had to pick one that defines me, it's being a teacher, if you will. And I really love it. And all the other things came, I think, from that, from devoting my life to training, probably from being in every good and bad school. I do think that to this day, I've been in more dojos than potentially anyone, both great and terrible. I think I've had stories on, but if you want to hear about stuff like that, I'm only talking about current day stuff, but I have fucking tons of stories about, you know, starting the old garage and then training at Slam Tech and then getting ripped off at Dory Funk School and then going through good OVW and bad OVW and good FCW and all that stuff. And not that many dojos, but enough training schools. And I visited a ton of them too. Anyway, separated from that, nice little week of training. We had two shows coming up, or I had two matches. Let me rephrase that. I was wrestling on a show doing a ring rental with my equipment, which is mainly, you know, hey, you book a ring rental. Sometimes you get a free pat buck that comes with a little deal ski. Sometimes not. There's been times where I'm like, it's okay. I'm not going to wrestle. That actually happened last Sunday where he's like, hey, you want to wrestle in like the pre-show match? And I'm like, no, sorry. I just really don't, you know, and not to be a dick or anything, but like, because I'm not like Kevin, where Kevin Matthews, where he's like very selective. I'm not selective, but if I don't think it's gonna be fun, I'm just not gonna do it. That's to me, because I'm already getting there, and I'm probably getting, you know, a wage from the ring truck. Obviously, that shit ain't moving for free. So if I want to have a fun match, I'll do it. I still really really enjoy wrestling, and I am a mark. So, you know, but sometimes I'm just like, no thanks. Anyway, I thought this would go quickly, and it's gonna drag on. Friday, we were working for a promotion called BBWF. I like the promoter. He's a nice guy. He's got a hell of a printing company. He made some great stuff for me. And currently, I feel bad because he got into a really bad car wreck. He's in a lot of pain, so heal up quickly, Dan Ram. However, they were using my ring. They've used it before, and he used a lot of my guys. And when I got there, first of all, me and Kevin took the ring truck. He took the ring truck. I followed in my car. Why? Because I'm a piece of shit. And I had a booking on my wife's birthday, which is great. We're newlyweds. And I was like, no, of course I want to wrestle Nunzio on a Friday night. Why would I want to do something great with you? Which is okay, because I'm making up for it this weekend when we go to a fancy schmancy vineyard, because we are the whitest couple in America. Anyway, so I go to, I follow Kevin in the ring truck, and I'm following him up 95. And this is in like northern Jersey for me, at least, or maybe in the northwest kind of area. And after a while, I'm like, man, like, this is a little further north than I thought. And I was following the wrong truck for a good 15 minutes, which I'm like, oh, fuck. I get off, I turn around, bumper to bumper traffic. I missed the whole setup. I got some guardrails up, and then I got there pretty late because Friday, having a Friday show in New York, New Jersey, whew, it's tough. Promoters, go for the Sunday, go for the Saturday, go for the any day during the week. It's just tough, dude. It's getting traffic. It's like a disease. You just put up with it up here. You just fucking put up with it. You know not to leave your house at certain hours, and I don't know. It's a reason why I'm moving. Not my call, but I'll get into that later. So anyway, ring goes up. I'm opening match, and I'm kind of late already, and Nunzio's fully dressed. I've never met Nunzio before. Oh, I take that back. I've met Nunzio actually several times. First time I met Nunzio was at the Elks Lodge as a fan, and when I was 12 years old. I think I've told the story before, but I actually did ECW Ring Crew. I used to show up really early, and actually one time I showed up probably about 3 or 4 p.m., and I'm trying to get autographs, and then I see them unloading the ring, and I was unfamiliar who these guys were, and I said, you know, can I help you guys out? And they're like, no. And I was kind of like bummed out, but I was still getting pictures and stuff. And then I had a plan, because I was a pretty calculated kid, always strategizing, that the next time ECW was there, I'm just gonna fucking pick stuff up and just start bringing it inside, and no one will question me. They'll think I'm with somebody. And I was scared to death, but it worked. And I think anyone doing ring crew, especially at the old Elks Lodge, when you have to bring the ring out a flight, I never did that. I just lifted like little things and ropes and like, you know, tried to just kind of blend in. But I did it a few times there, and that's when the first time I met Nunzio. However, we never really had a conversation before. We've been on a couple of shows together, and it was really refreshing because a lot of times I go into locker rooms and people don't know who the fuck I am, and I don't expect them to. But I think it's really sad where there's a lot of locker rooms where I know all the guys, and not for the right reasons, and they still have no clue. But Nunzio's like, oh, I know you. We talked over a quick match and just exchange ideas. And he was great. And he's like, I know who you are. He's like, I watch all your work. And I'm like, what? Oh, that's nice. I'm like, I've been watching you since whatever. And he's like, oh, you're making me feel fucking old. I'm like, I'm like, it's okay. I'm 32. I don't know how old he is. But so we had a little match, and it was fine. Crowd was a little light. But my guys were there, and they were heckling. And I kind of encourage them to heckle. I encourage them to act like marks. I do. I encourage them to act like fans and go crazy for stuff and say stupid shit and keep put some energy into the show. You know, don't be selfish about things, but like, that's how good fans are going to be. You got to work with that energy. You got to learn when you're wrestling, either how to play along with the crowd or zone them out. So when there's no one making, literally, there was a couple of WrestlePro regulars in there, like Ronnie and a couple other guys I recognized by name, which is scary that I know like 50 of the regulars' names. But there was a couple of friends and family, and it was a light crowd. So it helped. It helped my match. I thought it helped every match, but I can't really say that because I kind of dipped out after first match. So maybe things are different and I'm wrong. Me and Nunzio have a thing. One thing I felt bad about was I've been using the kill switch a lot. I just like I've been using the Kofi Kingston kick for fucking 30 years. And now I'm like, let me use the kill switch. Christian's not using it anymore. And I'm like, I think he felt froggy about taking the, some guys just don't like to be kicked. I've noticed that. Like a couple, veteran people I've worked in the last couple months are like, okay, where does the kick hit me? And they're just like, and so I'm like, all right, I'll just do the unprettier, the kill switch, if you will. And he's like, oh, you mean my move? I'm like, oh, fuck, that is your move. I totally forgot that Guido did that. So we had a blast. He was just like, that was so much fun. I was like, that was a lot of fun. You know, he has great cardio and easy. Good night. I left early and I thought all was right with the world. Apparently not, because a little incident happened at that show. Kevin's there with the ring. We pretty much have, we work out deals for doing ring setups. He's kind of an employee of mine, so he represents me. And my guys are there helping out. Half of them are booked on the show. Other half are just like, we'll hang out. Maybe we'll get booked next time. But it's networking. Go to shows you're not booked on. Help out. Don't just sit there and, whatever. It's a good idea. It's a very good idea. And you never know when they're going to need someone. Post-show, apparently, my guys are heckling so much that one of the heels, the heel in the main event, who I'm really unfamiliar with, and shame on me, but I just kind of never really saw or knew of him before, was going back and forth with Kevin, which led to an impromptu promo by Kevin, which led to an impromptu powerbomb by Kevin. And Kevin was trying to set it up, like, hey, man, like, can you take a powerbomb? And the kid was like, okay, I'll roll along with this, but I'll escape. And in Kevin's world, no, I got to hit my move, because if I hit my move, the fans go, I'm happy. And I agree with that, but the kid wasn't cool with taking a powerbomb, so what can you do? And I don't think Kevin hurt him. I don't think he did it intentionally, but the fact is he still gave the kid the ego driver, which is a powerbomb to the knees. And the fans that were there reacted, and they would be interested if Kevin works the show against, I believe his name's Juan Francisco. But I don't think he was too happy about the impromptu powerbomb. But the thing is that if Kevin wanted, I always say I'm between 195 and 200 pounds. If Kevin wanted to powerbomb me, he probably could, against my will. You know, he's bigger and probably stronger. So that happened. And, no one thought, and the DJs were, they know Kevin, and the people there know Kevin. So it might be wise just to roll with it. The guy had a big problem with it. Now, truthfully, Kevin's in the wrong, and he knows he was in the wrong, but he was rolling with it. And he's like, there's not a lot of people here. I don't take this very seriously. You know, the crowd's been entertained by us all night. Let me just, send the phone. Because if he didn't and the guy escaped from the powerbomb, then that's the end of your show. And people don't care. You're not leaving with heat. They're not going, oh, I hope he gets it next time. No. You leave with a move. At least you saw an athletic move. And like, he got him. Okay, end of the show. You can't send the fans home with heat on an independent show. You can't. Unless you're running like the next night or something. It just doesn't work. Or without television or whatever. So they have a talk and it doesn't go very well. And Kevin said things and he said things. I believe they called each other dames. And let's just say it led to a big ordeal. But cooler heads have prevailed there. And I think they worked things out. However, the person who used to help me in my podcast, we had a disagreement because I just didn't like, I disagreed with Kevin doing that. But I just didn't like certain things that were said towards my people. And I'm very defensive. So defensive that the argument ensued. And I have a short temper if I feel like people are insulting good people. You know what I mean? And I will, I burnt my bridge and he burnt his bridge with me. And the repercussion of that was my podcast went bye-bye and conversation with the big guy went bye-bye. And right now I'm putting myself on a new feed. But we have a lot of listeners for the conversation one, so we're keeping it on that one. And if it gets shut down, then we'll just move to a new one. but we had a falling out. That's why I'm now with the Shining Wizards Network, because I am incapable of editing. I'm capable of it, but I don't have a great computer. And if and I'm just, you know, I believe in do it yourself. However, I'm not. And I'm not that very good at it. And it's just like, I want the show to sound good, and I'm just not at that level. And I guess you can say I'm lazy with that. Sorry. I spin enough plates. So I'm back with them. And truthfully, the reason why I never went with them in the first place is because I just thought that Eddie had a lot going on, and people bombard him with musics and videos and this and that. And he's got his own life, works a full-time job. So I wasn't going to be like, hey, work on my podcast, please. Work on this podcast. You know, the guy that used to help me, and I don't want to mention his name because he probably doesn't want his name mentioned anymore. You know, and you're not going to be able to hear his name mentioned because the old episodes are deleted and I don't have them. And they have ads plugging the place that I was with before, and that doesn't exist anymore. So that's that. That's why my podcast went bye-bye. Hey, it is what it is. It moved on. And I'm glad I re-recorded this, because I was going to harp on it, on all like the, you know, the words that went back and forth. But hey, it's back. I didn't know the podcast was down until Broski, of all people, wrote to me. He's like, what the fuck? Your show is down. To which he did it again last night. And sorry, Broski, but I appreciate that my friends listened to this. But like, that was that. You know, that's disagreement. Goodbye, podcast. Now it's back up, different feed. I hope all you guys are here again, because I know that not many listen to this, but the conversation with the big guy, we're doing really well. And I want to keep that going. I'm very protective of that, because the more runoff from there, hey, the more we can put butts in seats here at WrestlePro. I hate that phrase sometimes, you know, put the butts in the seats. Just fucking draw a crowd. I don't know. Anyway, Saturday was awesome outside of the podcast drama. We had a street fair, a very cool street fair, the Edison Fall Family Spectacular. I've been working with them for a couple of years. Basically, it's a huge festival. You've been to street fairs, obviously. And pro wrestling was there. We do two shows, and they were the best ones we've ever done. Biggest crowd, you know, dare I say, probably at each one, we at least had, you know, 300 people at each one. People pass through all the time, but it's always like, you know, some... It just was a great time. And all what's great about it is, you know, I had a little problem with one thing. They always want a headliner each year, and they want someone from WWE or someone with the WCW, ECW cred. It sucks. But like, hey, I got to do it. So Crowbar is a great go-to because he can fucking wrestle great, and he has that. So I booked him. My other go-to was, of course, Curt Hawkins. And he was on the poster early. And then halfway through, I said, ah, shit, he's gone. So let me flip it to WWE superstar Kevin Matthews, to which I thought was okay until a couple people started calling the office. And I changed the poster. I did. I just didn't let them know because I forgot they were advertising too, because it's a festival. People are going to show up. I forgot they had a poster. And the lady's like, oh, what time will Curt Hawkins be there? And I'm like, oh, actually, he's not going to be there. He's back with WWE. Well, does he have to honor his contract with us? I'm like, what contract? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have an invoice. I have a little thing I made for you guys. So I said, let me take care of this. I'll pull off something, and I will have a really good replacement. And Bull Dempsey pulled through, which I think is fine. You know, it works good. So, but Saturday was awesome because a lot of the guys got to just work and have fun matches, no time restrictions, just put on a good show. And I had a real fun match work. First time working with Fala, and you know, it was a really fun show. Guys had a lot of singles matches they don't get to have anywhere else. And I got to see, what was nice for me is I got to see who's ready to do bigger shows like in Rahway and who's not, you know. And not to be sexist, but a lot of the girls are not. And it still breaks my heart. I need someone that can... You know, I train a lot of women now, and it's still just not there with a lot. And I don't know what else we can do, whether it be like a physicality standpoint or just not understanding. It just doesn't connect. And we're trying, and I'm giving them opportunity. But like, and I think a lot of them are frustrated being in 6-man tags and eight woman tags, but they don't have the skill set to have a singles match. And it's very, very, very unfortunate. So, but other guys like Nikos Rikos, you know, wrestled Dan Moff, and I didn't see any of it because I was talking over my fun little spotty four-way, which I tried to do something different in a four-way matchup where we had no false finishes. We kept doing a lot of shit, but I was just like, let's just do things where we just don't pin each other. And they're like, yeah, that'd be different. I'm like, all right, cool. But we did a lot of fun stuff. Great show, real fun time. Coming up, I'm a little stressed out about October 14th and 15th because it's, like I said before, you know, it's not, I don't have that much time to promote. I had, you know, a month or two, but I think it'll work out. Creskill, we have really a lot of guys working hard. Brooklyn, yo, Brooklyn people, if you can hear me, please, 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 please come. Legends of the Ring is that day. That'll be Bedlam. It always is. And November 19th, I'm pumped about, we'll have the Broken Hearties here, and that'll be a great show. In Newark, I'm a little concerned about, but you know, I'll say it here, it's going to be Ryback versus Colt Cabana. I haven't put that out there yet, so you know, get your tickets. And December 17th, I might run. I really kind of want to run in Union. I was going to run in Jersey, but I got to talk to the Union guys, and I always just never find the time to. So hopefully Union's free December 17th. Maybe we can work something out, because I think it's too close to Rahway. We can end the year with a smaller show, maybe bring in a name or two, and just end it that way and get back into the winter months. All right. I'm also a little butthurt. Not butthurt. I'm a little sad. Today's Wednesday, and Halloween Horror Nights opens up, and I was invited to go, and I really wanted to go. I didn't get my plane ticket, but I had the itinerary, the hotel I was going to stay at. My wife was going to try to take off work, and she can't get off because she has off Monday and Tuesday because of Rosh Hashanah, which I don't want to roll my eyes, but it's just that, like, she can't get off for Good Friday, but she can get off for Rosh Hashanah, and she can get off for Eid, and I think Chinese New Year as well. But Christian holidays, only Christmas, only Easter, which Easter is obviously always a Sunday, so, but it's a bummer because I wanted to go down and experience that, and I'm sure I'll be getting many pictures from, I'm really upset. I wanted to go so bad. I kept hearing about this thing, and so Broski and Cody have a good time. Anyway, I'm also a little, but I got to stay here. I got things to do. I'm moving, guys. I'm moving to Astoria. That's right. Astoria, Queens. I'm from Queens originally, but I'm going back there because the commute is killing my wife. So not that you guys care, but I travel. I'm blessed where I go to work. It's a minute away, Rahway, my school. But when I go to Creative Pro, you all know it's a 90-minute drive, 80-minute drive, sometimes 3-hour drive. But I'm going to have two places. I'm keeping the place in Rahway, and I'm going to have the place out there. This will be a business expense. I'll try to write it off because I need space for my ring truck. And I'm going to stay here when I'm training so I don't have to fucking drive back in traffic. So I got to get that going this week. As for wrestling this weekend, all I got is a Jersey All-Pro ring rental, but I won't be there. Kevin will be there taking care of it with the crew. I think they booked a couple of my guys. I'm not sure. I hope they can. Hint, hint, Pierre. I also feel a little not burnt out on wrestling. I feel like I need something to look forward to. Like, we have all these shows coming up, and I'm pumped for that, but I don't know. I just feel like I feel selfish. I feel like I need a little more. I think maybe because I feel like the stuff I'm watching on TV isn't exciting me at all, and part, like, there's nothing, literally nothing going on. I thought the brand split, brand extension would be exciting, and it's like, I love watching SmackDown just because it's different faces, different camera angle, fresh voice. And then I watch Raw and I'm like, whoa, man, it's pretty painful. It's not the performer's fault. It's just that it's just stretched out and not a whole lot of new things going on. And just, I don't want to be that show that reviews wrestling. I still use the network, love the network. Not afraid to say I pay my $10 a month. I'm not stealing it from people. I just, I don't know. And I'm watching TNA, and I can't, every time I watch TNA, all I think about is it true? Do they not have enough money to get through October? I feel bad for them. You know, you don't want to see that go away. That'll be really ugly because it doesn't look like anyone's going to purchase that, because why would you? You know, you're not exactly getting that. You're getting the TV deals and probably some international things. Maybe, you know, you have the talent contracts and probably obviously have to pay for it. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work out. So, just sad, you know, but I'm watching, you know, through doom and gloom, I'll be there. It just goes to show you that, you know, you need the right decision makers in wrestling, and that over time, no matter how much money you have, it's going to, something bad will happen. It could go away, and you need more good decisions than bad decisions. It's a shame though. Let me move on. I feel like I'm off track. I had questions here. Any truth to the Ryback, going to Bellator. I'm sorry, I should give people credit at least for the ones that are asking these questions, and they're all on Twitter, and I get to them. Some of them are in my email, so forgive me, but I'm going to take a second just to click my at mentions so I can be prepared for this. Who asked that question? Where are you? Dead air. Well, someone said the wrestling god at KWP 1016. You need a better Twitter name, man. Sorry. What's your entrance song and your podcast? Sounds pretty cool. I don't know. It's the Bat Buck song. It's a generic song that Shining Wizards Eddie found, and I'm like, that's cool. Let me use that, because there's been a lot of places like, oh, we can't play this. It's a copyright, right? So I'm like, fine, I'll fucking take it. And I don't own it, but it's like royalty free. You know what I mean? So I can use it wherever I want to use it. A lot of people just complaining about the feed. Oh, Mr. Richards, he wrote the Renegade 28. The Renegade made an appearance on the Saturday show at Edison. If you guys saw him, he was managing Team Hispania. Any truth to Ryback with Bellator? Well, thank you for being the first person that used common sense to reach out to the actual guy that manages Ryback and talks over all these deals. All I'm going to say, there's exactly what was said by Scott Coker. There's been talks. Was there talks directly from Coker to Ryback? No. But it's through Bellator, through me, through to him. And I'll leave it what Coker said. It's far from a deal. And that's that. And, I think the internet kind of went crazy with spinning it, where Meltzer kind of said that I forget what it was. Like, it was more about the money than the love of the fight. And I'm just like, that confuses me, because you saw the money that Punk got. I know Ryback enjoys fighting. He's interested in that, but it's got to be the right deal. And that's it. It's not just like, I hate fighting, give me money. But it's not, you know, hey, I need to do this to prove myself. It's they approached him. That's all I want to say. And as far as I know, talks continue on. And that's my position. Entrance song, I already said that. Oh, somebody asked me. I'm sorry, I didn't keep these going that great. The question was, what did I have checked? By Hype Gotti. I believe that's Sanjay Dutt's number one rival. What did I have checked when I talked about it on the podcast about the blood work, which that episode was really, really good. And now it's gone. That's sad. I had my testosterone checked. I had my free testosterone, my estrogen, my luteinizing hormone, and my follicle stimulating hormone, to which, as I still am a recovering teenage woman right now. That's it as far as questions. I'll scroll through the old email. Yep, that's it as far as questions go. So I'll just plug some stuff and we can get out of here. So, you can watch WrestlePro, our last show. It's for free. We put it on our Facebook. We put it on our YouTube. Subscribe there. We got a good amount of followers there on the old YouTube. But you can see the whole show, the one with CPA versus Grado, where it's me versus Cody. All that stuff is all up there, and enjoy it. And I really like it. I think we're improving in the footage thing. I don't want to charge for it. We're going to start Facebook Living everything. I want you guys to listen and see it for free, because I don't really care if you buy the stuff. I don't have a TV network. What the fuck do I care? Come to the show, buy a shirt, do something like that. And I'm not selling this stuff online. I can't compete with network. I'm not doing that stuff. Just fucking come out. Tickets, WrestlePro Online, like I said, .com. Get your tickets, please. CreatorProWrestling.com. Training a lot of up and coming hopeful people at both. You train under me and Kurt Hawkins at Creator Pro New York, or train under me and Mario Bocra and Dan Moff, and occasionally Kevin Matthews. Occasionally, a lot of rotating people there in Creator Pro New Jersey, which is all CreatorProWrestling.com. So stay tuned. I want you guys, please, if you can, again, I asked you once. Just do it one more time. I'm sorry. Leave a review, rate, subscribe. You do it, I promise I'll say your name on the next episode. I will get to that, because it's a brand new feed, a brand new channel, brand new network, the Shining Wizards Network. And thank you to them, and thank you for Eddie for editing this stuff and helping me out in the process. And also, I apologize for any confusion over the last weeks or so with the feeds going up and down, but you can be the first person still to get your own House Buck shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com because nobody has ordered it. All right. I will talk to you all next week. Take care.